Thank you, Alison. Thank you so much for reading. We're going to get a few sort of key, big, wonderful ideas out of this passage. There's a lot here going on. I'm just going to sort of explore it together. Do keep the little handout inside your service sheets just here and sort of orientate us as we go through. And Bibles open as well will be really helpful as we go through. I guess we're up to a lot of things in this life. We have lots of things going on, our job, relationships, friendships. Sometimes, though, we might well think that things are just not working out. They're not working out how we'd expect. And perhaps we find ourselves asking the question, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I'm the one at fault. And if that's so, well, maybe it's time to give up and do something else. Taylor Swift sings this. I'm not a big fan. Words to this effect, she says, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. I don't know if this is what was going through her head. You could well be wondering, if we are the problem, if that is why things are going badly, well, maybe it's worth just giving those things up. Unless, maybe we can change. Maybe we can change, really change on the inside. Some of us are Christians, and we might think similarly along the same sort of lines. We might feel like we're trying to live the Christian life, and it's difficult. Maybe we think that we are the problem. And we know Christianity is true. We know that Jesus did die, and he did rise from the dead. But sin creeps in, doubt, thoughts run through our head. Maybe we should give up. Maybe I don't have it in me to keep going. One more day. Can we change? Can we really change? Well, as Christians in the first century pick up this book of Hebrews, God is speaking to them. They're facing similar struggles to us, I guess. Yes, they know Christianity is true. Jesus is dead. Jesus died and he rose. But they're not sure, maybe. Not sure that it's worth keeping going, making it to the end. If the problem is in us, can we change? I feel the sin. I feel guilty. What's the point if I am the problem? Well, there is good news here this afternoon. God tells us we can change. We really can. And to change, we need to understand what these verses are saying, what God is saying us today. And as we do so, we ask God for his help to press these words down deep into our hearts. God says that we can change, that we will change. We're going to see why this afternoon. Firstly, first heading there, we can change. Yes, we can, because Christ's work is finished. We're going to see how this fits together. Let me read from chapter 9. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood, not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, over the last few weeks, Joel has been speaking to you from earlier chapters in Hebrews. I think you've been thinking about the tabernacle, this wonderful tent that believers had before Jesus came along, this holy place where God would meet with his people. Except it would become dirty. Not just physically dirty, but sort of morally dirty. The people would sin. Sin would creep in. And that sin, that moral filth, would need cleaning. Cleaning with sacrifices. Once, twice, again and again. Multiple sacrifices each day to keep clearing out the dirt. And ultimately, well, the tent, the door was closed. None of us here this afternoon would be able to enter. None of us would be allowed in to stand before God. But now, there is a Jesus has gone into heaven, into the true heavenly places that the tabernacle was just a copy of, a representation of. Jesus has gone in not many times. He has gone in once. Not to offer a bull or a goat, but to offer himself. Jesus is the sacrifice. And he has finished. Sin has been dealt with. His job has been done. This is era-changing, age-defining, time-splitting in half. Yes, we can change. because Christ's work is finished. This is huge. I want to try and get across how huge this is. Let me sort of put it this way. Just picture with me the tabernacle in the desert and sort of the whole process that had to go on with getting the animals to be sacrificed. I cycle around London and I often see lorries and lorries of food going in to restock the supermarkets every single day. I've heard it's sort of 15,000 tons worth of food needs going in, sort of industrial supply chains to keep London fed. And I guess the tabernacle in the desert would have looked something similar to that. Industrial levels of animals going in day after day, lines and lines of bulls and goats to be sacrificed, to clean out, to keep the tabernacle clean. Until finally, Jesus comes along and puts that to a halt. Done. Finished. Jesus has sat down, paid for sins. No more sacrifices. Generations of sin and past, present and future. Moral impurity and filth from our hearts. Hearts of us and hearts of people across continents who trust in Jesus. Dealt with. Forgiven. Tesco lorries of livestock could never accomplish. Jesus has now done. It's dealt with. And I hope that our hearts have been lifted by this. This is wonderful. Wonderful news. Wonderful news, which means a few different things. It means, firstly, we don't need to re-offer anything for sin or re-present Jesus' sacrifice for sin. We might find ourselves in church buildings where they have something called an altar, and they maybe even have Jesus still on a cross, because in that sort of idea about what's going on is that the sacrifice isn't finished. We need to redo some sacrificing on an altar for sin to be dealt with. But no, it's finished. Once for all, says God. So good. Something that we can really enjoy. Secondly, perhaps we know this is so wonderful and we'd love our friends to hear about this. And I'd love to commend this event to you next week, Wednesday lunchtime. We can be here with some colleagues and our friends can hear about this wonderful good news as well that can forgive them and reconcile them to their Creator. Thirdly, this wonderful news means we can answer this question we started with. Can we really change? Well, yes, we can. And the change starts right here. It's in grasping that in Jesus our sins are cleared. We trust his promise. We know that we have it. This is what changes people. We're going to think more about this as we go on in the passage. What is it that makes this sacrifice final so definitively different? How can it exactly change us? Well, second heading is sacrifice. Is a willing sacrifice, a different kind of sacrifice. Let's back up. Let's go to chapter 10, verse 2. It says this. Thinking about the Old Testament once again. For since the law, chapter 10, verse 1, since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? Do we see what he's saying? The old system could never make somebody perfect. It could never make someone, that means, fit to worship the Lord. Instead, the consciousness of sins, I'm stuck around. Gosh, I'm such a bad... Am I forgiven? As they killed bulls and goats again and again. Yes, it was news, but it was news it's unsettling news. Your sins aren't forgiven. It's just a temporary solution. Sacrifices were just a temporary solution. Sacrifices, in a way, were a little bit like these, actually. I managed to borrow these out of the St. Peter's Barge first aid kits. Sacrifices are a little bit like a sticking plaster. And the mountains of bulls and goats are mountains and mountains of sticking plasters. Plasters on the wound of sin, the deep rot of sin. Plasters are great. They're fantastic. But we need something more to fix a heart. This is why we need Jesus. Jesus brings the change. I'm going to read verses 10, verse 9. 5, 6, 7. As I do, he's going to be reading Psalms. he's been talking about the difference that Jesus makes. Jesus is different. He says this, 10 verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll. And these words, this is Hebrews quoting from Psalms. Psalms written ages before Jesus. This is a psalm about David. David is a king who knew that God would prefer if there were no more sacrifices. Much better than a sticking plaster, it's a cure, a total cure to the sin problem. That is what God wants, not more sticking plasters. He wants the sin problem to be finished forever. God prefers people to actually love him, to do what he says. And this is exactly what Jesus does. Jesus, he is the king, like David in the psalm. He takes, it's as if he takes these words into his own lips. Jesus, he comes and there is a change of era, a change of age. The continuous sacrifices are stopped. And he starts the new era. He launches a new people who actually want to obey God. People who are changed, who are transformed. And he does this because Jesus is willing. He wants to be sacrificed. We can change because Christ is willing sacrifice. Another reason why bulls and goats are okay, but they weren't ever going to do the job, is because they're animals. And animals cannot do God's will. They didn't. They're led to the slaughter. They couldn't be a substitute for people, disobedient sin people. What we needed is someone who was willing. A willing sacrifice. A sacrifice who actually wants to do what God says. And so he does it. Jesus, he goes and he gives himself. This is the sacrifice that we need. And as he does God's will, he says this in verse 10. And by that will, Jesus' will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus, his death sets us apart, washes us clean, frees us. And so now we are free. We're free from our sin. We are free to be like Jesus, to be a part of this new movement that Jesus has launched of people who actually want to do what God says, to be in line with the Creator's plan, doing God's will. We can be changed as we understand what Jesus has done for us. In fact, Jesus said something similar himself. We might remember there's a story about a woman who is sinful and she comes to Jesus and actually she's been transformed by him. Why has she been transformed? Well, Jesus says this. She was forgiven of so much. And so she loves much. This woman, she's grasped what God has done for her in Jesus. That is why she's a completely changed character. It's the same for us. Can we change? Are we stuck to be the problem forever? No, we can change. Absolutely, we can be just like Jesus, holy, sanctified, doing God's will day after day as we grasp what he has done for us. Our sins are dealt with once for all. Finally, final step here, thirdly here on the handouts, that means we see what has happened to us. This is sort of the definitive line of what has happened to us. We can change. Christ is the willing sacrifice, and so, thirdly, Christ has perfected us forever. Let me read verse 14. For by a single offering, that's Jesus, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. What does Christ's work mean? Well, it means that we are made perfect. Perfect, in the book of Hebrews, it means sort of whole. I'm complete. If we are Christian today, I'm trusting in Jesus, then Jesus has already changed us. We are changed. We are made perfect forever. And to be clear, perfect in the book of Hebrews doesn't mean that we will never sin again. Nor does being perfect mean that we will never have any doubts. We'll never doubt God's promises. That's not what being perfect means. But being perfect in Hebrews does mean that right now, today, we are fully able to do what God has made us to do. Being perfect in Hebrew means that right now we are able to enter into his presence, that we are clean, that we are reconciled to him, that we are everything that the Old Testament believers were not. We are perfected, we can come in. We are fully able to worship God. Our sin is forgiven and our conscience is clean. We don't have to stay awake at night with the sins and all of the awful stuff going through our heads, stopping us from falling asleep. They're dealt with. It's done. So our guess is, as awful things may happen in the future, or we think about our sin in the past, we don't need to hide from God in shame. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they tried to sort of cover up their shame and it wasn't going to work, and they tried to hide from God. That's not what we need to be like. We are clean. We are his, and he is ours. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. We are changed. That means we have no reason to give up on Jesus. Christ has perfected us forever. And what this is saying is it's actually sort of changing our hearts and our minds as these truths sink in. Let me read verses 15 and 17. These are promises made in about 700 BC about what God is going to do. Verse 15, chapter 10. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And God here, he promised a long time ago to one day forgive sins definitively. And so make a people with God's laws on their hearts and on their minds, and make a people who actually want to do what God says. That is us, if we're trusting in Jesus today. The one who is forgiven like us, forgiven a lot. He or she loves a lot. I guess for myself, I grasped a little bit of this when I came to London for the first time. I grew up and I call myself a Christian as a teenager, but I was wobbly. A little bit like those who are reading the book of Hebrews for the first time. Wobbly, unsure, not sure if I can keep going as a Christian. Well, it took coming to London and finding a church where I heard this good news for myself, taught from the Bible faithfully. When this news sunk into my heart, that is when I changed. That is when I realized that I could do what God wanted me to do. He has forgiven my sin. And that changed me. And so for us, I guess, as we think about heading back to work, back to our desks, we would do well to have these words filling our minds. What Jesus has done, filling our hearts. The fact that our sins are dealt with. It would be so good to think about this. That we have been changed. We can keep going to the end. We do have it in us. We are finishers. At the beginning, we started thinking about a question about maybe it's us. Maybe we are the problem. Maybe we are the reason why we might not stay Christian. Maybe we don't have it in us. Well, this passage shows us that we have no reason to. Jesus has died and risen to start to launch a new people who wouldn't give up. His sacrifice has perfected us, has sanctified us, and we are not people who give up on the race. We are finishers. It's a bit like a medicine cabinet, the book of Hebrews. God tells us this in Hebrews. It's the medicine that we need today to keep on going, to get to the end. This is what we need to understand. C.S. Lewis put it like this. I've been told he put it like this. I actually couldn't find a source for him saying this on the internet, so feel free to go and Google it and maybe you'll find the source before I do. It's been attributed to him that he said this. The difference between Christianity and other religions is this. Other religions say, do, do, do. Christianity says, done. Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism say, do these things, do, just perhaps like things that we hear outside of religion, secular things, Nike, what do they say? Just do it. Jordan Peterson, how does he suggest that internet personality, how does he suggest that we change? He says, tidy your room, do it, just do it. That's their plan to change people. Do, do, do. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, it's finished. It's done. You are changed. Realize this. Realize that we can keep going. We have no reason not to. We can keep going to the end. Let's pray. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus' definitive and once for all final sacrifice, that he was willing, that he has washed us clean. We know we are perfected. Such wonderful and good news. Father, we pray that these words will sink into our hearts. By the power of your Spirit, they'll be at work in our minds, that we would know that you have changed us. We can keep going to the end. And Father, we pray that we would do. We thank you so much that you have forgiven us much. We can therefore love much. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.